I'd like to invite you to take the Word of God and open it up to Matthew chapter 24. And in a moment, we're going to be reading verses 35 through 39, but also going to be referencing some other scriptures as well. There was a news reporter in one of the major cities, and he was randomly picking out some people and asking them this one question. And the question was, what are the two biggest problems in America today? And some would say economy and the immigration. Others would say the lawlessness and on. But he saw one guy coming and he could tell he was in a hurry, and he took the mic and he said, "Sir, just a moment. Can I ask you a question?" And before the guy could even answer, he asked the question. He said, What do you think the two biggest problems in America today are?" And the man said, "I don't know and I don't care." And he just walked on. So the news reporter went on to some other people. But I thought about that. That set home to me. That man just answered the correct answer, really, when you think about it. Our two biggest problems in America today is I don't know and I don't care. And when you classify them, when you categorize them, you could actually say that they're in the classes of being indifferent and being ignorant. Now, folks, there is one thing that we do not need to be indifferent or ignorant about. And that is the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No one knows. No one knows but the Father. The angels don't know. The Son of God doesn't know. Only the Father knows when that day will come. But, Jesus does tell us. And He gives us just a small insight. He tells us that that day will come when our days become like the days of Noah. Now, Gary and Keita Wright and my beautiful bride Sharon and myself just came back from the Ark. We took a trip up north. We went up to see Miss Susan Spears. Of course, that's the daughter of Lof and Liz. She is managing the, what's the name of the park, Lof? General Butler, thank you. And I think that is in Carrollton, Kentucky, and doing a wonderful job. But while we're there, the Ark is only about 45 minutes away. So we decided to visit the Ark. Sharon and I had been before, but Gary and Keita had never been. And folks, all I can say is if you ever get a chance to visit that place, you need to. The description that is on the pamphlets and on all the brochures, it says beyond your imagination. And it is. It really and truly is. So the whole time that we're going through the Ark, of course, I'm mentally preparing this lesson that you're going to hear tonight. But again, if you ever get a chance, please go and visit that. Read with me. Read with me Matthew 24, verses 35 through 39. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and then took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming, the second coming of the Son of Man." They were giving in marriage and marrying. What is that classified as? Couldn't you put that in the category of being indifferent? And the Bible says they knew nothing. They knew nothing of what was to come. And that, my friends, is the ignorance. That is our two major problems, I believe, in my heart in America today. Ignorance and indifference. And not only that, that will, those two things right there, will mark the last days of when Jesus is to come. So you have to ask yourself, what were the days of Noah like? What were they like? Well, we have to go back a few chapters. We have to go back to the first book of the Bible, and that is in Genesis. And if you'll do that with me, we're going to leave Matthew and go to Genesis 5 and chapter 4, 5, and 6, and we're going to pick out some verses in these chapters. And I've selected some certain verses. We're not going to go through them all, but I want to show you and I want to point out and do a comparison of the days of Noah compared to the days of the age that we are living in today. And I really truly believe that I think you will see, you're going to see that this age that we are living in right here and now is very, very ripe for the second coming of Jesus. I've got seven marks that I want us to look at. And the first mark or the first comparison, if you want to call it that, I'm calling it a secular philosophy. Secular philosophy. Now, I want you to read with me the same verses that Lof read just a minute ago. Chapter 6 of Genesis, verses 5 and 6. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil at all time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. How do you explain that and compare that to today? I call it secular philosophy. Everybody back then had their own opinion and had their own ideas of what they wanted to do, what was right, what was wrong. Where are we at today? Can you not say that today? Secular philosophy is rampant today. What people are telling us is that our church is old-fashioned. We need to get with the times. I mean, we need to bring in some entertainment into this place. We're so outdated. We need to get with the times. It seems like, I don't know this for a fact, but it seems like just about every week that there is a new denomination, a new church that has been erected. I don't know the facts on that. It's just every time I seem like I get in the vehicle and go somewhere, there is a new denomination that has just been erected. And what they teach is man-made doctrine. What they say is they deny that the Bible is the truth, and they especially deny the Bible when it condemns their lifestyle. This was the same thing that was going on in Noah's day. Noah tried to preach. He tried to preach that they were full of sin and they needed to repent of their sin, but nobody. They had their own philosophy then. They didn't want to hear that. And it's the same way today. But the number one thing that stands out to me, in the days of Noah, they did not recognize the lordship of God. And today in this society, no one seems to recognize the lordship of Jesus. Mike mentioned that in his prayer. Beautiful prayer. But those two things stand out to me today. Everything has been philosophized. I'm not sure if that's a word or not. And it's taken over everything that we know as it is today. So that's the first thing. That's the first mark or the first comparison that I want us to see. The same way that the secular philosophy that was in the days of Noah is the same as it is today. Number two, and you're going to be surprised at this, but again, you need to take a trip to visit the ark to understand this next one that I wrote down, and that's scientific progress. And this may shock you. This may shock you, but it is so true. The days of Noah, you're not going to believe this, but had reached a colossal height of knowledge and achievement. And what I'm telling you is, folks, they were not as primitive as you think that they were. They were very, very smart people. The Bible tells us over in chapter 4 that the Nephilim, they were men of renown. And that means they were very, very smart. And when you read about Tubal-Cain making all the bronze and all the tools out of iron, and when you go to the ark, some of those tools are there. Now, I know they're not the tools that were used. I mean, we all know that. But they're replicas. And it shows just how far advanced that these people were. And some scholars have compared their scientific achievements to the scientific achievements of our age today. And some scholars say they were far advanced, more than we are today. What they had to deal with and what they had to use, and actually they had to build their own tools before they could build anything. And the Bible says they were building cities, not villages, but cities. And when you compare that, when you compare with what they had to work with and what we have today and what we get done, they're really not a comparison. Look in Genesis 4 and verse 22. 4 and verse 22. It says, Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Now, they had gotten kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They had gotten kicked out of paradise. So what are they doing? They are trying to make an artificial paradise. And they're building cities. The most impressive thing, I know that the ark has consisted of three different decks. And the bottom deck is where the animals were kept. But the most impressive thing that Gary and I, and we stood and watched of how they structured this ark, the beams that are inside of it, the material that they used, how they got the material there. But the most impressive thing that stood out to both of us was how they disposed of the, not only the human waste, but the animal waste. While they were on the ark, they were on the ark for approximately almost a year. And you've got this animal waste, but the diagram, and they had a replica of how this waste was disposed of. And it was simply amazing. Of course, the engineer was God, so nothing really was amazing to him. But to us, as humans, it was simply amazing. And then you see the tools that they worked with, and before that they had to make the tools. But this ark is 450 feet long. Now that's about a football field and a third added to it, if you can imagine that. And then it's 45 feet tall, which is a little over four stories. And then it's 150 feet wide. And when you look at this thing, and you, again, you take our modern day society now and what we have, but you compare it to what they had, and to construct this ark, it was an engineering miracle. But of course, the engineer is God. But what I want to say is just simply amazing. And if you ever get a chance, please go. But nothing surprises us in our technology today, does it? Where did we start? Noah started with forging tools and then making primitive machinery. And we started with the horse and buggy. And then we put a man on the moon. And then we have the computer age that we are in now. And really, when anything comes out now, nothing really surprises us, does it? It really doesn't. Mike made a great point in that good lesson this morning on managing your money. He said we had, I'm not sure if I didn't write it down, but he said we have more access to everything and do less with it. But they had less and did so much more with it. Scientific progress. The third mark that I want you to look at as the days of Noah are compared to our day is the social plagues. The social plagues. Now, it didn't take the scientific knowledge and the achievements. They're similar to us today. They didn't use that for the good. If you think of all the good that we could do with all the tools that we have, and yet we don't, it was the same way back in Noah's days. Their days was filled with great violence. Yeah, everybody could make tools, but they didn't make tools. They made weapons. Everybody's filled with revenge and wanting to get even and wanting to do violence to somebody else. Does that sound familiar today? What's going on in our society today? I could stand up here for another 30 minutes and name off all the crimes, kidnapping and rape and child abuse, murder, and go on and on and on. See, our days are very, very similar. Very, very similar to the days of Noah. Organized crime seems to be a bigger business today than even our government is. There's not much difference between the days of Noah and the days that we are living now, folks. And again, everybody is just filled with revenge and violence. And I have to tip my hat to the social engineers. The social engineers, they get an A+ for their work. What we have been told, the church family, we've been told that we need to back off. We're getting too upset and too worked up about divorce and about having sex outside the marriage home and other couples just living together. They say, you need to back off a little bit. You're way too strict on that. Don't you see what's going on in our society? I mean, this is the modern day. This is what we do. You people need to back off. And you need to back off on our criminals. You're too hard on them. You're just too hard. You need to give them a break. And you're too old-fashioned, like I said a while ago. You've got to bring in some entertainment. You're still living in the Stone Age. You're still singing just voice, you know. You've got to have some entertainment. And what we want you to do is we want you to compromise and we want you to rationalize the Word of God. We want you to preach what fits people out there. And I'm telling you, we really don't need the Ten Commandments anymore. We don't need them posted up anywhere. And you really don't need to pray in school. And what they've done, we've taken down the Ten Commandments and we quit praying in school. And what we've replaced it with, we've replaced it with metal detectors and police officers. Again, I've got to give the social engineers an A+ on what they've done. But the days of Noah were the same, folks. The days of Noah were the same. And God said the world has become corrupt. I can't imagine what he's saying about it today. Social plague, number four. Comparison of the days of Noah to the days of our age. I'm calling it the days of sexual perversion. Genesis chapter 6 and look at verse 5. Again, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil at all time. Now this verse, don't get me wrong, Phil, hear me out. This verse doesn't mention just exactly how evil and how sick that imagination was. But, we're going to leave Genesis and we're going to go to Luke 17. And I want you to go there with me. Luke chapter 17 and look at verse 26. And we're going to read verses 26 through 30. Luke 17, verses 26 through 30. And what Jesus does, Jesus ties in the days of Noah to the days of Lot. Now read with me, starting verse 26 in Luke chapter 17. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. Watch verse 28. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day that Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Isn't it interesting how Jesus ties in the days of Noah to the days of Lot? And Lot lived in Sodom. Sodom is where we get our word sodomy. What does sodomy mean? Sexual perversion. Believe it or not, God said in Leviticus, He said, sexual perversion is an abomination to me. And you know what the penalty of that was in that time? They were taken outside and they were stoned. Stoned. We have a pandemic of this coronavirus that is going around. But folks, we also have a pandemic of sexual perversion in this country. And we live in this country at the same way. And Jesus said, as it is in the days of Lot, it will be also when I come again. Now let that sink in. Let that sink in. Number five, a days of selfish prosperity. Mike touched on this again this morning. We've been blessed, folks. We have been truly blessed. America has been blessed. It has been blessed with prosperity beyond measure. But not every place has been blessed the way that we have. America is full of prosperity, but it's also full of perversion. It's the same way that it was in the days of Noah. We're going back to the Old Testament to Ezekiel chapter 16. Now, I've got to give you these scriptures in order to tie this all in. So I want you to turn there with me, Ezekiel chapter 16. And I want you to see the definition of Sodom. And it gives it here. Verse 49 of Ezekiel 16. It says, "Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy." Verse 50. "They were haughty and did detestable things before me. And God said, therefore, I did away with them as you have seen." Notice how he describes Sodom. Prideful, arrogant. And what I'm saying is the sins that years ago that used to be hidden, now those sins, they just strut right down Main Street. The arrogance and the pride, but not only that, overfed. And they didn't help the poor. Did not help the poor. Sometimes people think that, and Mike mentioned this in his lesson this morning, sometimes when everything is going good, and even though you're not obeying the will of God and you're still being blessed, you're thinking, well, God loves what I'm doing. He likes this. That's why he's blessing me. But what I want you to understand, at the height of all their prosperity and their pride in Sodom, as soon as Lot left Sodom, what did you see Sodom as? All it was smoke and ruins. People get prideful and they get arrogant. And that's the way it was. The same way in the days of Noah as it is as today in our age. Number six, days of Noah were days, bless you, the days of solemn preaching. Solemn preaching. You can write this down big, bold, and plain. God never sends judgment without sending a warning first. And that is exactly what he did in Genesis 6 and verse 13. We're going back to Genesis now. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence. Because of them, I am surely going to destroy both of them and the earth. There's your warning. God never brings wrath or judgment until he gives you a warning. He always does that. 2 Peter 2 and verse 5 says Noah was a righteous preacher. Noah was not only the architect and the builder of this ark, but he was also a preacher. And he's got the wrath of God in one hand and he's got a hammer in the other. But nothing that he ever said ever penetrated the heart of those people. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why? Because they had everything they needed. The same way it is today in our society. We've got technology, we've got entertainment, and we say, hey, we don't need God. A news anchor for CNN, Chris Cuomo, he said that publicly. He said, America does not need God. I feel for him. I need God every day, folks. I don't know about you. I need God every day in my life. Noah warned. He warned these people the same way that we warn people each and every day of our life. But you had others, and we have others. We have the media. They didn't have a media, but they had word of mouth that was just as strong as the media. That turned as many people away as Noah was trying to bring. The last of these marks that I want you to see as we compare the days of Noah to our days is the days of sudden panic. The days of sudden panic. And I don't know what that day began like. I don't know that anybody knows except the ones that were there. I don't know if it was a bright and sunny day and then the clouds began to gather in and then the heavens opened up and the rain started to fall. I don't know. I have no idea, but I do know it came sudden. I know it came sudden. And God told Noah, he said, Noah, get your family and get in the ark and shut the door. And when Noah shut that door, it shut him and his family on the inside. And it shut all the other people out. But it also shut the water out. And I'm sure the water began to fall from heaven. And it started to rise. And people were climbing and probably going to a higher place and a higher place and a higher place. And there's probably some that are in the water and they're banging on the door and telling Noah, hey, we're sorry. We mocked at you and we laughed at you. Please open up. And folks, the door was shut. The door was shut. And those that went climbing higher and higher and higher eventually ran out of room to climb. And eventually they perished. I think of a little boy that may have been there. And he comes running up to his dad and he says, hey, Dad, I got a question. And the father says, where have you been? Your mother and I have been worried sick about you. Well, I've been been down there talking to Mr. Noah. And Dad, Mr. Noah said that God is going to destroy the world with a flood. Dad, what's a flood? Well, son, I don't really know what a flood is, but you don't need to be talking to Mr. Noah down there. But Dad, don't we need to go down there and see if Mr. Noah will let us own that ark? And he sets his son down. And he said, "Listen, son. I know you've been down there talking to Mr. Noah, but I got to tell you a story." He says, when I was your age, I almost did exactly the same thing that you're doing now. I came running up. I came running up and I was telling my dad that we probably need to go talk to Mr. Noah and see how we can get on that boat. My dad and your granddaddy, son. And son, do you know what my dad and your grandfather said? And the son would say, "No, I don't." He said that his father had been told the same thing. He said, "Listen, son, listen. That Mr. Noah is crazy. He's crazy. He's just a religious lunatic. And I don't want you going down there and talking to him anymore." Can you imagine a scene like that? You know, there had to be at one time. There had to be. But folks, when the door was shut, it was it. I'm closing tonight to tell you that there is a ark of salvation. And His name is Jesus. And I can promise you faithful by the authority of the Word of God that if you confess Jesus, confess your faith in Him, that He died for your sins, that He is the Son of God, you confess that faith publicly, and you repent of those sins, and you are baptized and those sins are washed away, I can promise you if you live a faithful life until God calls you home, on the authority by the Word of God that it says right here in this book, you will spend eternity with Him. You will be on that ark of salvation. His name is Jesus. If you'd like to do that tonight, I ask you to come right now as together we stand and as we sing.